If you need a Bible, please raise a hand. We are going to be studying God's Word for tonight, as always. And so if you need a Bible, the ushers are coming down with Bibles. And we are going to be in 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings chapter 15 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So keep a hand in both. We'll mostly be in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, but we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 15. We're going to look at the life of one of the kings in Israel's history. I chose this this passage in Scripture. I love studying the kings, studying the prophets and Israel's history. And even today, Jewish boys and girls will study Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, as their history books. It's history. It's facts. And so we need to learn God's people's history and how we can apply it to our own lives. And so we're going to be learning a character. His name is King Uzziah, or also known as King Azariah, in chapter 15 of 2 Kings. And we're going to learn an important lesson from his life experience. And I love how the Bible is intentionally filled with life stories of people to learn from their examples, whether to do what they do or whether to not do what they do. Thank God that your story and my story is not found in the Bible. I always imagined growing up, do they know that their story is going to be on display for the whole world to see? Think of David. He's got some high notes, he's got some low notes, and everybody knows. And so David's probably thinking, thanks, Lord. But that is what the Lord intended to do, to not just point to characters, but to point to the character, Jesus Christ. The Bible is always, forever will be about one person, his name is Jesus. But these stories will help teach us a lesson, what to do, what not to do from their life. But we should always strive to be like one person, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in 2 Kings chapter 15 is where we're going to be. And you can jot this down as well. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 says this: "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." That was Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he was talking really about the Jewish history of the Exodus. But it's really about the entire Bible of the Old Testament, I believe, that these things happen for a reason, to be an example for us and to also be a warning for what we should not do and learn from their mistakes. King Uzziah's story is just that, an example of what not to do, and to warn us about a certain sin that we're going to study tonight that entangles us all. So when we read 2 Kings chapter 15, follow along with me. I like what Pastor Alistair Begg, if any of you know Alistair Begg, love listening to him. He's a Scottish preacher, and my accent's horrible, so I'm not even going to do it. But I like what Pastor Alistair Begg says about Bible preaching. He says that Bible preaching is like a miniskirt, short enough to grab your attention, but long enough to cover the subject. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Read 2 Kings chapter 15. Hopefully it grabs your attention, but long enough to cover the subject. So read along with me in 2 Kings 15, verse 1. It says, "In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah," this is Uzziah, "son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. The Lord afflicted the king with leprosy until the day he died, and he lived in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. As for the other events of Azariah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the king of Judah? Azariah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king." Let's pause and pray, and then we're going to study this character. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for just allowing us to come together and worship your name. And now we want to worship you by studying your word. God, I pray that you would just use my words as your words, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work through me, Lord. And nothing that I say would, Lord, would be in vain, Lord, that this would all be applicable for our lives today. God, we can learn lessons from these characters to point us to you, Father. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Go before us now as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've all heard the phrase, it's not how you start, but how you finish. It's not how you start, but how you finish. I've got a pretty lousy, embarrassing example of this phrase. It's not how you start, but how you finish. A number of years ago when I was at the gym and I was by myself, my wife wasn't with me, didn't have any friends with me, just went by myself, wanted some alone time, quiet time, and I chose to run on the treadmill, all right? Who likes the treadmill in here? Anybody like the treadmill? I hate the treadmill, okay? I'm not a runner. But I was proud of what I did because I actually ran 3 miles. For some of you, like, that's puny. For me, that's a big deal, okay? 3 miles on the treadmill. I'm going strong. I felt good. I broke a good sweat. I'm on the treadmill, and all of a sudden, I lose focus. Something happened, and I was distracted with my earbuds, and all of a sudden, I'm behind the treadmill on the floor. Mac. I don't know what happened. Honestly, it was all a blur. And I fall backwards, and I get up, and everyone's staring, really. This is at Ida Lee, so there you go. That's where I was. If that was LA Fitness, you'd get some laughs right there. But Ida Lee, they were nice, but they didn't help me. They just stared. Like, thank you for helping me up, all right? I'm 20-some years old. I get up. I think even broke a piece of the treadmill, the plastic part that came off with it. It was awful, honestly. And so I get up. I put that plastic piece back on, I wrap my headphones, and I just look at everyone and go, bye. Walk away. I literally walked away. I was so mad that I just was like, I could just spit. You know, you've heard that phrase before. I didn't spit, but I was so mad. I started so well. I started well, 3 miles. And something caught my eye, lost focus, and I'm down on the floor looking like an idiot, and no one helps me up, and I just walk away ashamed. This is King Uzziah. This is him. He starts off so well, King Uzziah, but finishes very poorly. He starts off so well, but finishes very poorly. Now, we don't get the full picture from just reading 2 Kings 15, so that's why I want us to now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And that's where we're going to be in the remainder of our study for tonight. 2 Chronicles 26. I want to read most of the passage because it gives us a lot more detail than 2 Kings does. 2 Kings just tells us that here he is, he's a good king, he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years, but God struck him with leprosy, he died, end of story. It's kind of random, right? Okay, what happened? 2 Chronicles now tells us what happens. Read along with me, some of it's going to be a little repetitive, but some of it will be a little new for us. So, chapter 26, verse 1. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. His father had just been assassinated, and that's why they placed Uzziah as king. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. You can underline that word, success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbaal and against the Meunites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame, you can underline that word, his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt. Because he had become very powerful. He had become very powerful. I want to stop right here. I want to take a look at the screen real quick at some notes on who Uzziah was. I want to look at him as the man first, and then I will look at him as the king. Uzziah, basically, as the man, he becomes king at 16 years of age. 16 years old. What 16-year-old kid would not like this? You're the king. Some parents would be like, this cannot happen. No, please. A 16-year-old kid, he just had puberty, he has acne, and he just got his chariot license. Okay? This is Uzziah. And he's king over Judah. Now, a little bit of history. Israel, after Saul, David, and Solomon, Israel split into two basic nations. They kind of had like a civil war. Israel's in the north, Judah's in the south. The capital of Judah is Jerusalem. The capital of Israel is Samaria. Uzziah reigns in Judah. So the capital is Jerusalem. He's reigning there. He reigns in Judah from 792 to 740 BC, roughly 52 years, which the Bible tells us. That's longer than King David reigned. So King Uzziah, he reigned a long time, 52 years, beginning at age 16. But it also says he was considered one of the good kings of Israel. Now, of Judah. Israel, if you read the history, had no good kings. Very sad. The northern basic region of Israel had no good kings. Judah had some, very few. He's one of the few. He was one of the good kings. I put good in quotes just because he kind of starts off good, but then drifts a little bit. But the Bible does say he started well. Look at verse 5. It says he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as well. Verse 4 tells us that. And that's pretty cool, I think, that at 16 years old, he has this mentor named Zechariah. It's not Zechariah the same as the prophet and the writer of Zechariah. It's a different Zechariah. We don't know really much about him. But he's his mentor. He's basically like a youth pastor, all right? This is him. He's mentoring the 16-year-old kid spiritually. Not really how to govern a nation, but how to seek the Lord. And I love that. It says he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. Struck him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God gave Uzziah success. So he's seeking the Lord. He's a young king. He's ruling and reigning. Again, his dad had just been assassinated. No doubt this is very emotional, just a weird time right now that he's just placed into. They make him king. And this is his life. And he begins very well. Starts off very well. Here's also another description as Uzziah is the king. You can look on the next slide, because we just read this verse. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God gave him success and blessed the people of Judah. So now we're going to see Uzziah as the king. What did he do with his military? He was very organized. He was very energetic. He was very detailed. Uzziah was. So let's keep reading. Look what it says here in verse 9. It says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert, dug many cisterns, because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working in the fields and vineyards, in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army, ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers, as mustered by Jeiel, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer under the director of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. And under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corners defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. Stop right there. Here's King Uzziah as king and his accomplishments on what he does. It's amazing. He had a mind like no other. He was genius in what he did in Jerusalem and to be ready for war. And so it tells us that he went to war against the Philistines. The Philistines were the number one enemy of the people of Israel and Judah at that time. We know David fought the Philistines when he was king. David fought Goliath, who was a Philistine. So the Philistines, they're their enemies. And God helps Uzziah. It says that God helps him in war and in battle. And he's ready. He builds walls. He fortifies the city. He gets it cleaned up. And basically it says he's a successful warrior against his enemies, rebuilt cities, fortified Jerusalem. And it talks about his army. It's very detailed. Organized, a well-trained army of 307,500 men ready for battle. It's a big army. Even in that time, that was very big. 307,000 men. And provided mass equipment. He provided everything. Shields, bows, slingshots, all right? Who would not want to go to battle with a slingshot? That's amazing, all right? That was a joke. Anyway. Invented advanced military machines for war. This is interesting. I love studying this too. I liked going into the historical account of what this really was talking about. Verse 15, in Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. What this sounds like is a catapult. Now, if you study this in depth, archaeologists are very confused how he would have done this, because catapults and this kind of machinery at that time wasn't even around until 300 years after Uzziah. So they're kind of confused. They're conflicted whether was this for offense or for defense. No doubt, he was a genius. He had this built. His mind was ready for battle at all times, and he has it ready for war. He used advanced machinery for war. This guy was successful in all he did. Why? Because he sought the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And whatever he did, God gave him success. God gave him success in all that he did. He was capable, energetic, well-organized. But three words that I had you underline that described Uzziah just in this very first half of his life. The three words are on the screen for you. Successful, famous, and very powerful. Successful, famous, very powerful. Those are all great things. Those are all great things. But when you combine them and they start taking control over you, it's not a very good, dangerous place to be in. It's very, you're very ready to just start going down a slippery slope. It says in verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. And then in verse 8, it says the Ammonites brought him tribute and his fame spread. Okay, there's no Twitter, there's no Facebook, there's no social media, there's no fake news to spread this around. His fame is spreading, all right? That was another joke anyway. I'm just going to stop. Okay, verse 8. The Ammonites brought him tribute and his fame spread. And then it says he became very powerful. Became very powerful. Success, fame, power. But one thing crept into his heart because of those three things. Because of those three things, the word is pride. Now let's keep reading the story. This is where it gets sad and depressing, because we see the first half of his life, success. The last half of his life, he does not finish well. Verse 16, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who've been consecrated to burn incense. It says here, leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham his son had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial and belonged to the kings, for people said he had leprosy. And Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. Okay, so now it starts to make a little more sense. When you just read 2 Kings 15, it kind of just seems random that God gives him leprosy and that's it and he dies. Well, here's why. Everything happened. Everything's detailed into what happened. And verse 16 is the epicenter, basically the point of this passage alone. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His pride led to his downfall. What happened, Uzziah? How did this happen? How did you start so well but end so poorly? It's because of his pride that led to his downfall, that became clearly evident when he usurped the function of the priests. It's funny, I think it's ironic also that the priest who confronts Uzziah, his name is Azariah, which is also the other name for Uzziah. In 2 Kings, it doesn't even talk about him being Uzziah. His name is Azariah in 2 Kings. In 2 Chronicles, he's called Uzziah. Uzziah probably would have been a throne name when he came to the throne. But his real name, his proper real name that he's given at birth, was probably most likely Azariah. Isn't that interesting that the priest who confronts him has the same name? The same name. It's like he's confronting himself. It's like he knows what he's doing is wrong. And he confronts him, this priest. Now, because of what he was doing, it wasn't the pride that led him to have leprosy. That was just the part of it that started the downward spiral. It wasn't his pride. It was his unfaithfulness to the Lord. It was his unfaithfulness. Because look what it says here. And after verse 16, when he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense. That's a big no-no in God's order, for the temple especially, and for the priests and the kings. His pride led him to think, because I'm successful, because I'm famous, because I'm powerful, I can do whatever I want now. I can do whatever I want, even if it means if I want to serve as king and priest. Even if it means I can do both, which was disobedience to God. It was not God's order. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, which is what he was doing. You know, everyone could go in the temple. The temple was a place of worship. But entering the Holy of Holies behind the curtain, where the Ark of the Covenant was, you couldn't do that unless you were the high priest. He thought he could do that. Oh, I'm cool. I'm famous. My fame is spread. I'm powerful. I know what I'm doing. I can do this. He entered the Holy of Holies in God's temple to offer incense. It's found in Numbers chapter 18, where God strictly said, Aaron, you and your priestly order are the only ones to enter the Holy of Holies to offer incense to me. Anyone else actually is going to be killed who does that. Now, isn't that interesting? Uzziah doesn't die yet. He dies later, but God strikes him with leprosy right there. God strikes him with leprosy right there. Leprosy today is also known as Hansen's disease. It's basically a slow-growing bacterial infection in the skin that can affect your nerves, eyes, and other parts of the body. Now, this disease is curable today, but it was not curable in that time. It was not curable in that time. It was a sign of a slow, painful disease that would result in death. When you got leprosy, you knew that you were about to die. It's a slow, painful disease. The leper would usually be quarantined so that others wouldn't catch it as well. That's why in verse 21, it says that Uzziah lived in a separate house. It's because they didn't want to be contagious and catch it, and they get leprosy. So they quarantined him until the day he died. It says he stayed that way until he died. Lived in a separate house, and he was excluded from the temple. He couldn't even go into the temple to worship. He's excluded from all this. Again, God didn't strike Uzziah with leprosy because of his pride, because thank God we all struggle with pride, and we all be lepers today, right now. Amen, that God doesn't do that. He didn't do it because of his pride. His pride led to the downfall. His pride led to it, and God struck Uzziah with leprosy because he was unfaithful to the Lord and disregarded God's order. He didn't care anymore, because pride does that. He thought he could take on the role of a priest and do whatever he wants. This is the sad story of Uzziah. Success, fame, power led to his pride. But Uzziah's pride was rooted in something more extreme. His pride was rooted in something more extreme, and it's on the slide right now. Uzziah's pride was rooted in his lack of thankfulness to God. You never see Uzziah give credit to the Lord. You always saw David give credit. You even saw Solomon give credit. You always see other kings that were for the Lord give him credit where it's due. Because it says that as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. God helped him in everything. God gave him the success, the power, the fame. It wasn't him that did it. But he didn't give God credit. His pride was rooted in a lack of thankfulness. He never gave credit and success and credit and thankfulness to the Lord for giving him success. It was all about him. Because of his pride, he became unfaithful and he became angry. Now, isn't that true of all of us with pride? Now, pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He was known as Lucifer, and he's one of the most gorgeous angels there ever was. Isaiah and Ezekiel describe Lucifer. But it said, until pride filled your heart, that you were kicked out of heaven. That was the first sin. It wasn't Cain and Abel. It was Satan who became proud and said, why can't I be like you are? Why can't I be like the Most High? Pride led to Satan's downfall. And the same goes for us. And isn't it true, when we become proud, sometimes that will lead to anger, and that'll even lead to unfaithfulness. Sometimes unfaithfulness in our marriage, unfaithfulness at work with money, unfaithfulness even in a relationship with God. Whenever you look at every sin, and I'm not talking about like different levels of sin, and you know, I'm not going to get on that theological discussion. Does God see other sins more greater than other sins? I will tell you this, though, that I do believe that every sin that we commit usually always starts with a little bit of pride. Just a little bit of pride that creeps into our heart, and then that goes and overflows and overpowers everything else. We become angry. We become unfaithful. We become that we think that we're the only thing that matters and, you know, we can do everything we want. That's what he thought he could do. Because Uzziah became successful and he became famous and everyone loved him. He was popular and he was powerful. That's why he thought, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. But he forgot the one thing that will never leave us is God, and he always pursues us. And God was pursuing Uzziah, saying, I oppose that pride. I oppose him. He hates pride. Proverbs 16, 18. Everyone knows this verse. Solomon would write this. He didn't take a lesson from Solomon, obviously. Solomon says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride always goes before a fall and destruction. James chapter 4, verse 6 in the New Testament, James would say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And also in verse 10 of chapter 4 of James, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. We have to take this into consideration. And I know that sometimes the Christianese thing is, you know, we need to live in humility and get rid of pride. But when you look down into the deep darkness of our soul and you see that pride is just creeping its head, it wants just a little bit of the power, the success, the fame. And it did it for Uzziah to where he didn't even care that he wasn't a priest. I'm just going to go in and do what I want. Now, you can make the argument, well, what was he doing in the first place in the temple and at the Holy of Holies? Maybe he was thanking God. Maybe he was offering thankfulness to God. He could have been, but the Bible doesn't say that. And the Bible actually says his motive was pride that led to his downfall, which led to his unfaithfulness, which led to his leprosy, which led to his exclusion from the temple, which led to his death. So you can say that he was maybe offering thankfulness to God, but God probably wasn't even listening to him. He's not a priest. God was not listening. He was not happy with Uzziah's decision. Pride comes before a fall, and that's why on the screen it says here, be thankful for what the Lord has done in your life and live a life of humility. The Bible's always talking about, especially in the Psalms, David would always write this, that be thankful for the Lord, for what he's done for you, for who he is, for what he's given you, for what he's not given you, and for what he's done for your life. Be thankful. Don't be thankful just on Thanksgiving, even though it's the greatest holiday in the world. Be thankful every single day. Be thankful every single day. He had a chance, Uzziah did, he had a chance to give credit back to the Lord, and the Lord would have done exceedingly more. Lord would have done exceedingly more. But he never gave credit. It's never recorded. It's because instead of being thankful, he said, I'm going to let pride fill in my heart. It's about me. Look what I've done. So you think that you're better than what you really are. Give glory, credit, honor, and thanksgiving to the Lord because he's due that. He's worthy of it. And what he's given us or done through us, some of us will take that and say, thanks, Lord. I'm going to go run with this now because I did it. Sometimes we abuse the grace of the Lord or abuse his gifts to us because then we think, I don't need God. I can do this on my own. It's interesting that Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, Galatians 6, 3, Paul would say this, if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I love that. If anyone thinks that he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That's what Uzziah started thinking about himself. I'm something. I'm better than everybody else. Look at my fame. You know, my dad was assassinated, but look what I've done to the kingdom. Look how I've rebuilt it. Look what I've fortified. Look at my vast army. Look at everything. He says, Paul says, you're deceiving yourself if you think that you're something when you're actually nothing. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, your actions and your words, whatever it is, that's a hard verse to swallow. There are some verses we love. Some verses we're like, this is hard. This is a very hard thing to swallow. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him. Giving thanks to him. Uzziah had a chance. He started well, but he slowly started to drift and go down a spiral that would never lead back up. Unless he confessed, but the Bible says he never did. And then it's interesting, look, the leprosy account, read it again with me. It's kind of funny, but then it's kind of not. Look what it says here in verse 19. After the priests confront him, there's 80 of them, or 81 really, because the high priest and then the 80 priests, they rush in, they said, you can't be doing this. Who do you think you are? You're not going to win the Lord's favor in this. You could be killed for this. You can't be doing this. You're not a priest. You're a king. Why are you doing this? And then look what it says. It says, verse 19, Uzziah had a censer in his hand. It was for the incense, ready to burn the incense. And then he became angry because of his confrontation, because they're confronting him. Like, who do they think they are, these 81 priests? All right? Who do they think they are? He's got a censer in his hand while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. It starts right here. God has a sense of humor because he puts it right here so that the priest can see him. And Uzziah doesn't even notice at first. He's like Home Alone, that robber. Whatever he says in there. Marv and Harry. Love those guys. It starts popping up like pimples. All right? It's going. It's going forth. It's on his forehead. He doesn't even know. The priests are like, uh-oh. We know what that is. We're taking you out. You've got leprosy. And it says that he finally figures it out too. They heard himself out. And then indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. He's like, yeah, let's get out of here. He leaves with them. Leprosy breaks out. And he's rushed out of God's house. He's rushed out of God's house. Verse 21, King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham had charge of the palace and he governed the people of the land. It's a sad verse. How great he started, and how poorly he fell. Until now he's actually has to be, in a way, suffering and in torment of this infectious disease that was not curable, and he's slowly wasting away. Does he repent? I don't know. The Bible doesn't record it. I believe the Bible would, but since it doesn't, we would assume that he would only lead to death and he would never ask for forgiveness or repentance and have that hope of heaven. It's very sad. It says in verse 22, the other events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end, they're recorded in the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Because Uzziah actually reigned, when he reigned 52 years, a lot of prophets were, at that time, prophesying during his reign. You had Isaiah, you had Hosea, and you had a few others that can't come to my mind right now, but Isaiah was a big one. Isaiah would write about Uzziah a lot. And it says that he records a lot of passages that Isaiah does in his book. Verse 23, Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings, for people said he had leprosy. He couldn't even be buried with the kings. He couldn't even be buried with them. It says he rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings. It belonged to them, but he wasn't buried with them. He's buried near them because he had leprosy. That was his legacy. That's what he ended his life with. Everyone remembers him, not for the great achievements he did in war, not that he was a great military leader, not that he was a great king, not because of his fame, not because of his success, not because of his power, not because of his catapults launching arrows. Although that's cool, no one looks at that and remembers, oh yeah, he was awesome. They only remember how it ended. They remember his leprosy. That's how he would waste away. Uzziah started well, but he finished poorly. For us, it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. It doesn't matter where you were at the beginning with the Lord, it's where you are when your time comes to a close with the Lord. God wants us to finish well so that we can hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it's so interesting because this segues actually into the prophet Isaiah's ministry in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, that begins Isaiah's ministry as prophet over the people of Judah. And what Isaiah writes, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord seated on the throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple with glory." I think that's pretty interesting. I don't think that's a coincidence, because it's a great reminder that when leaders fail, when leaders come and go, no matter how hard they try and when they fail, God is still seated on His throne. Is that interesting? I love that passage when Isaiah is writing that. "In the year that King Uzziah dies of leprosy," started well, but he finished poorly, "I saw Him who sits on the throne." God was sitting on the throne. He's still sitting on the throne. No matter who comes and goes, no matter what leaders fail us or how they start great and they fall so poorly. And you read about all these different Hollywood people now and Hollywood producers now that things are coming out that's, you know, that is sinful and wicked and all these things. And we're like, "Oh, I thought they were great people. Looks like they're not." And leaders keep falling, falling, falling. Even pastors. You look at the church now. It's just sad to see the state of where they start to how they fall. And it's usually always because of pride. Usually always is. Satan is the deceiver. He's the father of lies. He uses pride because that's how he fell. And then he says, "I'm going to let everybody else deal with it." But Jesus is on the throne and Isaiah sees Him. And he writes about it in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and on. And you can read it. It's a beautiful passage on what the throne room and heaven looks like. And he talks about seraphim and cherubim and the angels singing around His throne. And that's what we're going to see. It's also quoted in Revelation, but that's what we're going to see when we see Him someday. Praise God. And it's just amazing to me that we can get so caught up in our world and society and culture and feel like that is our status, that's our identity, and this is where we are now, and it's so depressing. And the news, not only, you know, is it fake news, but it's also depressing news. There's nothing ever good at news anymore. There's nothing ever good in, like, come on, like, there's got to be some sort of amusement park that's just, you know, has been built, and no one's talking about it, but we're all talking about, you know, just people going to jail and everything, or Chipotle with E. coli and stuff, and just awful stuff. I think I'm done with Chipotle. I don't know if I can trust it anymore. But anyway, this is Uzziah. Starts off well, but ends poorly. I want to close with this verse from the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, when he was on his deathbed, and he's writing to Timothy, he's in prison, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Most of us know this. But when his life was coming to a close, he writes this to Timothy: "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Paul knew what it meant to fight, to finish, to please the Lord. We can take this character study of Uzziah again, and Paul says that they're an example for us, they're a warning for us of what to do and what not to do. And I want us to take this to heart. And understand that we can have the same struggle, the sin that so easily entangles us. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that. This sin of pride that can easily fill each and every one of our soul, our hearts. And it can cripple us when we don't even know it. Because you have a lot of attention. Everybody knows you. You're successful. And again, those aren't bad things. God wants to bless us. But when we use and abuse it and say it's all about me and never give credit to Him, that's where it's wrong. And from that pride will lead down a slope of anger, depression, unfaithfulness. Because we want to have the best of everything. We want to be God. That's why Adam and Eve sinned. They took of the fruit. Satan says, "He's holding something from you. He's holding something from you. You can be like God, knowing good and evil." That was the whole point why they took the fruit. It was to rebel against God, because I want to be like God. We're not going to be like God. We're going to be like Him when we get to heaven, like the angels. But God is all-powerful. He's almighty. We're never to take the credit. We're never to take the glory. We're never going to take the honor. It's all God's. And Paul knew that when he says, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Can we say the same for us today? Can we say the same for us, that I'm fighting, but I'm kind of losing? And I'm running, but I don't know if I can finish. Again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's not if you, there's no winning and losing in God's economy. It's all about finishing. It's not if you win and are perfect. It's not if you even lose. God says, I want you to come to me as you are. And everyone in this Christian life is starting their race, and some are faster than others. Again, some are great on the treadmill. Unlike me, some are great on the treadmill. Someone can run faster than others. Someone can speed up. Someone can get ahead of other people. When you watch the Olympics and Usain Bolt and he's going, he just beats everybody. Everybody looks like they're going like 5 miles an hour. It's not about winning, it's about finishing. God says, I just want you to finish. And Uzziah didn't finish. It's sad, he didn't finish. But we can take heart that God is still on the throne. God sees us where we're at, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Don't let pride get in the way of God. Don't let pride get in the way of your relationship with God. Satan wants that. It's nothing better that he would love for pride to cause a division between you and God, between you and your spouse, between you and your kids, between you and your work. Pride causes division. It's a wedge. Don't give the devil a foothold, the Bible says. Let this be a lesson for us. Let us take the example of Uzziah and learn from it, and to remember that God can forgive, God can restore, that we are to finish well, that we are to hear those beautiful words that God is going to say to us when we come to Him in heaven. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into your kingdom. Come into your rest. That's what I'm striving for. We may fall down. You fall down in a race. You get back up. You may want to end it. You may be sweating so much that you can't even see. God says, I still want you to finish, because I've got a crown waiting for you in heaven. And that last part of the verse, I didn't even have it on the screen, it says that we are all longing for that appearing when we see Jesus in heaven. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm longing for. And let's take this to heart, that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Let's finish well. Let's finish well, and let's not give the devil any foothold. Let pride just cease in your life. If you're struggling with it right now, I want to pray for you. If you've overcome it at certain times, I want to still pray for you that it doesn't creep back up. Don't let this world puff you up to where you think that you are everything when actually you are nothing. We are nothing without God. We're nothing. And it's not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word, that it's for us, for our good. It's for our benefit. It's a love letter to us. God, we ask that you would just cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you would purify us. God, this sin of pride can be used and abused in so many ways, Lord, that is never healthy. God, I want to take the example of Uzziah, how he started so well, but he finished poorly. God, I want to flip that. Some of us aren't starting very well. I pray that we would finish well. Lord, for those of us that are struggling with pride, it's one of our main issues. We think about ourselves way too much. We get puffed up at what people say about us way too much, and we think that it's all about us. God, I pray for those people specifically, Lord, that you would just touch them like you did with Isaiah when you touched his mouth with the censer and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve you. God, I pray you would touch our hearts. You would touch our minds. You touch our lips. Pride wouldn't even have anything to do with us. God, we see the example of Uzziah, how he started well, but he finished very poorly. And God, we're all dying from the same disease. It's called sin. God, just like leprosy was his disease, we all have a disease. It's called sin. But Lord, you can heal, you can restore, you can forgive, you can take away, you can cleanse us. We believe that. God, for us that are living in humility, I pray that we would stay there. I pray that we wouldn't get puffed up at any other time, Lord, that we would be humble just like you were when you were humbled going to the cross. And God, we always look to you as our healer, as our Savior. And we thank you so much that leaders will come and go. Leaders are going to fail us. People that are big names in our society and our culture, they're going to fail us. But Lord, we thank you so much that as Isaiah saw you seated on the throne, you are still on the throne today, even as I speak. Lord, you are here tonight in the midst of us. Where two or more are gathered, you are here. Your Holy Spirit is present. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you heal us, that you see every deep, darkest sin in our soul. God, I pray that we wouldn't do what Uzziah does. He didn't give you credit. He didn't give you glory. Lord, I pray that we would give you credit and glory and honor in everything we do, in words and in deeds, that we would glorify you and we give you thanks. We would give you thanks. God, for some of us in here, we don't give you thanks. We don't thank you enough. I know myself, I'm guilty of this, Lord, that I don't thank you enough for what you have given me, for who you are, for what you've done, for what you are going to do. God, we thank you first and foremost just for this church, that we can come together, worship freely, to learn about who you are, what sin is, and how you've come to save us. We thank you for tonight. Ask that you go before us now. We pray for the Israel team, that you would bless Pastor Gary and the team, Lord, that they would be safe, that you would give them a great experience, that you would bring it back home safely. And we pray for all of our families in this room tonight, Lord, that you would go before us. We give you this time. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.